interesting portion of Scripture that Tyler read this morning out of Psalm 68, verse 20, that goes toward a life or death issue. When he says, "He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." So this morning, would you come along with me as we examine this life or death issue? Since early fall, we have been studying the Gospel of John. And one of the things that you can't help but see in every chapter, almost every chapter of John's Gospel, is a reference to the word life. Now, I want to say, from my humble perspective, and I think you probably all would agree with me, life is good. Long as you have it, life is good. It doesn't always take the turns that we would prefer, but life is a whole lot better than the alternative. And therein is an issue. There are a number of people in the Scriptures who had that issue. I can think of a few that come to mind. Number one, there was the man Lot with his family who dwelt in Sodom. And there arose an issue there. God had determined to destroy that city, or that pair of cities. And God in His marvelous grace set a man to praying about that. And it was a life and death issue, because if God either would not hear the prayers, or Lot would not leave the city, he would certainly be destroyed. Life and death. Then you think of others along the way. Life and death issues. There certainly are the numerous occasions whereby David was faced with such a thing. One of the most well-known Bible narratives is in 1 Samuel 17. As he went down into the valley to face off with Goliath, there was a life and death issue. Somebody was going to die there that day. It was either going to be David or going to be Goliath. There wasn't going to be any Mexican hat dance in the valley. There was not going to be any draw, so to speak. Somebody was going to die that day. And as we read in the Scriptures, God mightily prevailed through His servant David, and Goliath on that day, mighty Goliath, big man, a mighty warrior, lots of what were then contemporary pieces of armor, fell in battle. Never did he think that morning that the day would ever come that that was going to happen. And when he saw his adversary, he did not think that it would turn out the way it did. But he didn't take into account the man or the God who has the issues of death. There are others in the Scriptures who faced issues of life and death. I'm thinking of a good king, Hezekiah, who was informed by the prophet at the behest of God to, "You go home and set your house in order, for you're going to die." And to which the king turned to pray, and he cried out to God for mercy. And what do you know? God hears prayer. And because he has the issue of life and death, he was able to give this good King Hezekiah 15 more years. Now that's good news and bad news. As we've maybe discussed before, if you remember. Good news in the sense that he's got 15 more years to live. But not so good news in that I'm going to be watching the clock a little bit closer now. And each year gets less and less. I don't know which would be worse. Frankly, for me, I just soon not know. Lord, whenever you decide, in whatever manner you wish, that's good enough for me. I, because you see you have dear God who doeth all your works in righteousness and justice, you have the issue of death in your hand. We live and move and have our being because of Him. We do not live on our own volition. Every breath that you take is a gift from God. Every beat of your heart, a gift of God. Every wave of your brain, and I assume that some of you are still waving this morning in spite of your breakfasts and early hour here. That's a gift from God. Every minute of the day that you live is a gift from God. And when the moment comes and you are about ready to take your last breath, itself a gift of God, when that time comes, even then, my dear friends, God will carry you through. The Scriptures teach, unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Now, when I read, as I went back and reviewed some of these references in John's Gospel, I want you just to sit and listen and be encouraged for about 5 minutes. For 5 minutes. Stay with me for 5 minutes. Don't zone out. Just 5 minutes. Okay? Guard the person next to you. If you see them diving left or right, give them a little elbow. 5 minutes. Everybody set? Listen to this in John. Oh, by the way, if you're not sitting with anybody who's left or right of you, watch the person in front of you, and if you have to, reach up and give them a little love tap. Do that. But do it quietly, please. When we think about what we have discovered so far in John's Gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that Christ, the Creator, is the pre-existent God. He is the Emmanuel, the Savior, the only begotten of the Father. He is the express image of His Father. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 1, in the 4th verse, it says there that He is the life and light of men. He is the life and light of men. In the Apostle John's little epistles in the back of the Bible, we read his testimony. We have heard and we have seen and our hands have handled the Word of life. The Word of life. For the life was manifested, that eternal life. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Therefore does John say, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, that all men through Him might believe. That they all might believe. And that all men, any man, might have life, new life, eternal life. You see, that one of the things about life is, the Scriptures also tell us that life as you now enjoy it, these daily gifts that God gives you, isn't going to last forever. Scriptures teach us that it is appointed unto man once to die. That's an ugly word, die, isn't it? Ugly word. It's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. That's even uglier. But I'm reminded again as I look over in the Scriptures that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Are you still with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Life. Everlasting life. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, the 11th verse, He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Now, why is it that life is such a grand deal beyond today? Is that when and if my time on earth comes, and you're all sitting here at some date in the future for a memorial service, no doubt the place would be packed out. No doubt. There wouldn't be anything up here room but for flowers piled about this high, yes? If and when that day comes, it will come only with hope because the Lamb of God gave His life for me. He sacrificed Himself. He paid the debt that I owed to the Father in full. And God demonstrated His satisfaction with what Christ offered when Christ rose from the dead. If for some reason, as the liberal theologians purport that Christ was not, He was a good man, but not necessarily perfect. He sinned occasionally just like the rest of us. If that ever happened, if that was ever the truth, I guarantee you one thing would have happened. He would still be stuck in that tomb. And if He has not risen, then your faith is in vain. And we are of all men most miserable. But I want to say to you today that that not being the case, what's there to be miserable about? What's to be miserable over? So I go to my rest and the memorial service is over and you haul my carcass out to wherever it's going to get planted. So what? Because the truth of Scripture has said that there's going to come a day when all that are in their graves will hear His voice and shall come forth resurrected. I like that. I really like that. I mean, some of the dear folks that had died previous to the crucifixion of Christ, according to Matthew chapter 27, some of the saints, it is said, came out of their graves and appeared to many. Now imagine that, having spent all that money on a funeral, and here comes your relative walking down the street after the crucifixion of Christ, and they're standing looking right at you, and you say, what do I got to do this over again? Because every one of those saints that rose out of their graves at the crucifixion of Christ died again. They died all over again. But when you and I come out of our graves, my dear friend, we rise to live, never to die again. What's to be miserable about? This is life and death issues. People don't like to talk about this stuff. It's some gloomy, maudlin type arrangement. And I've got to tell you that if indeed a person has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they have no hope in Him, then I can understand why their life would be miserable as the end draws nearer and nearer and nearer. I could understand that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. I'm so glad. I know that people get all upset when you make the claim that there's only one way to heaven and everybody's religion, if it's sincerely held, is just as good as yours. Well, I don't want to hear that rot. All I want to say is, here's what God has said. He's made it so simple. He's made it one way to heaven through Christ. Just one way. That's something even I can understand. There's no chance of me getting that wrong. One way. Now, if you give me a lot of choices, I'd probably be like some of you are when faced with a number of choices. You're all indecisive. You wonder, what should I do here? Wonder what I should do there? No, He's made it absolutely simple. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. In Him we live and move and have our being. And it's amazing to me, not only did John, the apostle, assert all that throughout his book, we also understand that the apostle Paul said, the just shall, listen, this is until we get there to the end, the just shall live by faith. Live. He's also told us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that having done that, that they which live, according to his letter to the Corinthians, should not henceforth live unto themselves. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In him was life. In him was life. My dear friends, little wonder then that we who have been saved by the grace of God, little wonder that we would do anything but fixate upon the Lamb of God. Little wonder then that we would follow the Lord of glory. Now, I would like to have you just stop for a minute, bow your heads with me, and I'd like to pray before we get started or go further. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of the resurrection. Take that truth, Lord, and write it upon our hearts. Write it upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, to, as we live by faith, to reckon that to be so. Eternal life with all of its glorious ramifications. May we revel in the life, the author and giver of life, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Would you take your Bibles and just come to John chapter 1 again? John's Gospel chapter 1, we have looked at as many as received him, fixate upon the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As many as receive him, follow him. So we fixate upon the Lamb, we follow the Lord. And then this morning, as many as receive him, find others to bring to him, that they might have life and to have it more abundantly. It is that I wish to speak to you about this morning when we talk about the finding. And then I want to leave you with an illustration that many of you probably have heard me say or use at least once before, but it has, when I first read it, it so burned a searing mark in my soul that I've never been able to forget it. But in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 41, keep in mind now we're talking about a life and death issue. Why would I want to find others and bring to him? Why would it be important to me? Why should it be important to you? Please notice a priority in John 1 verse 41. He first findeth his own brother. Verse 40 says, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother. That's the priority. Simon. He saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Just want to point out to you the priority there. He first findeth his own brother, and according to verse number 42, what did he do? He brought him to Jesus. When you take your Bible in hand, and you look at in the mirror of the Word, your own life, and you may calculate this, that your walk as a Christian may not be all that significant to date. As you sit here, you sit with yourself and you think, you know, I've never really done anything all that much for the Lord. I've been trying to be faithful over the years and so forth and so on. But I've never really distinguished myself as others may have done. But I want to remind you that that the church largely is made up of Andrew-like disciples. You will look in vain in the Scriptures to find many references with this man's name. This is one of them, Andrew. But you will find his brother's name, Peter, all over the place. Which is to say that if you have an Andrew-like ministry, priority number one, find those closest to you and bring them to Jesus. That's as much as stated so in our own church covenant. He first finds his own brother, brings him to Jesus. So Andrew brings Peter to Jesus. Now look at the pattern in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, to whom he says, "Follow me." And then we read in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael. And he declares, and here's the proclamation now. This is the message. It has as its focus, in all majestic simplicity, says, "We have found him." If you, Andrew, have found him, find your own first and bring them to Jesus. It's a life and death issue. It's a life and death issue. The subject matter of this proclamation that we read here is the content is all that Moses and the law and the prophets did write about Jesus of Nazareth. Now, the fourth thing is the person who is the point of every gospel presentation to Nathanael, Philip says, "Come and see." Verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And later do we find in John's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 21, the Greeks came then to Philip. Are you seeing the progression here? The Greeks would come to Philip, saying, "Sir, we want to know where you go to church. We want to know what kind of doctrine your church believes. We want to know what kind of Bible your church uses. We want to know what kind of music your church sings. We want to know what kind of apparel your church members wear." No. The Greeks came to Philip and they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Would you show us Jesus?" And you're sitting here, Andrew, in your Andrew-like ministry, and you say, how could I possibly, as I sit here today, show Jesus? Yes, I love him whom I've never seen, but how can I show Jesus? You show him in your life. And when people see you, should they not see Jesus? If you love him with all the heart, soul, and mind, should they not sense that about you? Is that something that can be hid? Please note that progression. Philip telleth Andrew, and again they tell Jesus, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. As many as receive him, they fixate upon him who is the Lamb. They follow him who is the Lord, and they find others and bring to him who is the life." Jesus said, after all, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now I want to give you that illustration. I've noticed on my morning walks or my afternoon walks, usually it's in the morning when I see this, I'm walking up a sidewalk and I look down at the sidewalk and I see 9 gazillion ants in one place. And I love to torture them. They're all in a little bundle scurrying every place. And so I drop something into the middle of them and whoosh, they go in every direction. And I wait for them to gather again a little bit. I take something else, drop them down in the middle. Whoosh, they all go. Now, you know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise toward that end. If you've heard this before, humor me. If you haven't heard it, may it be a blessing to your heart. This little story, authored by old Dr. M.R. Dehon, gravelly-voiced Dehon, tells of a party of missionaries who were sitting down to tea. That's what they do. They sit down to tea one afternoon when suddenly an ant appeared on the white tablecloth. The missionary reaches over. No, they didn't do that. Ant appears on that tablecloth, made its way to one of the tea plates, walked around it, finding nothing to eat there, made straight for the sugar bowl. And after eating some bits of sugar, it went off with a small piece, and the missionaries watched it go off the table, down the table leg, along the floor of the room, and disappear underneath the door. Not long afterwards, it returned with several of its relatives, climbed up the leg of the table, marched along the top, and led by the first ant, I don't know how they figured that one, they all entered the sugar bowl. And after they had eaten their fill of sugar, they all departed, each with a piece of sugar in its mouth. But that was not all. Presently, a swarm of ants arrived to partake of the same sweet food. What a great lesson those ants teach us. The one who came first of all went and told others the good news. They in turn went out and told the glad story to many more. Shall we let the ants put us to shame? You know, it is a solemn responsibility to have in one's possession a reprieve for men who are under condemnation and not deliver it. Do we not sing a little song in our hymn books? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And what has He spoken to us today? I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on me, though he were dead. Yes, yes, Kaminsky may be planted below the ground before Jesus comes. Maybe you too. Maybe I'll beat you, maybe you'll beat me, but the grand truth of this whole thing is maybe none of us go through the valley of the shadow of death, but instantly taken from where you sit, from where you live, into heaven above as Jesus returns. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He's forgiven your sins, you may live today with that hope. Now, if you haven't, I want to give you a place to go. This is the issue of life and death here. As you sit here and listen to Scripture, if you sit and listen and you honestly before God, because you can hide everything from everybody sitting next to you, but before God you sense, you know, I really don't know. If death should overtake me today, I don't know what would happen. I'm not sure. You may be a member of the church. You may have got baptized. You may have had communion 9,000 times. You may have given a load of money to the church, whatever. But you sit here and I don't know. I don't know if I am a Christian. Really. So what should I do, preacher? What must I do to be saved? And I say, from the Scriptures, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And listen, if you want to talk about that, if the Spirit of God is stirring your conscience, and you want to talk about that, please, please, please let me help. Let me help. In private, in quiet, with no distractions, no embarrassment, no humiliation. But I can promise you only this. that if indeed you want to do business with God and you want to trust Christ as your Savior, your humiliation and your embarrassment will come later. Because if you take a stand for Christ and you live by faith, you will not be well received by the skeptics and the cynics of this secular world set. But you will be infinitely loved by a God who will never change his mind, who will forgive every sin you've ever committed. And when you take your last breath, will come, send himself, an angelic emissary, and take you across the Jordan into his presence. I can promise you that. If you're troubled about that, you don't know where to go, what to do, let me help. Please, let me help. Please, let me help. Is that clear enough? I don't have all the answers. But they're all right here. They're all right here. M.B. Slade, you'll recognize these words, wrote in a hymn. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation's story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever told me before. As many as received him, fixate upon him. He is the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. They follow him who is the Lord of life. And they find others to bring to him, because it's a life and death issue. It is live in Christ or die without him. What do you do? Our Father and our God, bring the weight of your influence upon any struggling, stumbling heart, convict of sin, and bring to yourself. And may the children of God be refreshed and encouraged as we contemplate the beauty of life itself in Christ, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.